Holy God, abide with us, in us, through us. Open our hearts to receive your word that it might take root in us, and that through us we might bear your fruit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Following the Sunday lectionary can be a pretty curious process. And so in the midst of Easter season, we find ourselves right back, almost in Holy Week, back to the Last Supper and the final words of Jesus before his arrest. So here he is as the meal has ended, and he's giving some final words. And if I was them, I might have appreciated, I don't know, a 10-step of how to grow a tiny church. Or perhaps, you know, what to do if you're going to face arrest. Maybe those words that we might say at a protest. But instead, he gives them something else. He washes their feet. He calls them to love. He offers them peace. In fact, what he does is he shows them in word and in action the fruit that will sustain them in community. The last words of chapter 14, all of those final discourses there, are, "Arise, let us go from this place." And then immediately we launch into the gospel we just heard today. Now, I'm cautioned against any imaginative exercise, but this is the Abbey. And so I actually imagine that this isn't just a collected saying, but that they do arise and go from that place. That they stand up from that difficult and disturbing dinner and put their feet to the ground. And that this scripture comes in the context of a walk down through Jerusalem, out past the Lion Gate, and up into the hills towards Gethsemane. And I wonder if mixed in with those olive trees are maybe some vineyards. Maybe the vines are crawling up the side of the hill, and Jesus points them out as he talks. Because Jesus does all kinds of big, theological, cosmic, mystical talk. He always does it rooted in the experience, in the physical surroundings of the people whom he walks with. Those everyday things, like sheep and shepherds, like light and salt, like bread and wine, or today, vine and branches. In the history of the Hebrew scriptures, a fruitful vine was a symbol for people turned toward God, while those wild grapes that we weren't supposed to sow, or an empty vine, were those symbols of a people who had turned away, who had become hard-hearted, closed to the word of God. In Isaiah 5, God appears as a vine grower who is painstakingly caring for a vineyard, only to be rewarded with an empty vine. In fact, it's called the Song of the Unfruitful Vineyard, and it identifies Israel as a whole with a vineyard that was well taken care of by God and expected to pour forth abundant fruit. But instead of living into that hope, oppression and exploitation occur. So from this context, that wide lens, this passage brings it narrow, brings it into the minute relationship between Jesus and his followers. Using the same imagery here, Jesus instead identifies himself as the true vine, the vine that has been obedient to God and will submit even his life to the loving care of the vine dresser. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit is taken away, and every branch that bears fruit, God trims clean so that it might bear fruit. And it doesn't end there. With Jesus' vulnerable and intimate relationship with the source, they and we in turn are invited, are embraced within that incredible Trinitarian relationship. Remain in me and I in you. I am the vine, but you are the branches. Abide. 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 That word is rich with meaning. It comes from a Greek word, meno, and means to make home, to endure, to stay, to remain as one. The notion of making a home, of finding your heart's true home in Jesus, brings that settled peace right in the midst of the turmoil that we face both within and all around us. What an invitation to abide in the true vine, to remain as one with the source of all. Almost like a marriage, we're being asked into intimate relationship, not separate, but grafted in, the branches of the vine itself, alive and part of God's fruitfulness. And while this is all pure gift, we have our part to play. We must commit to pray and sing and immerse ourselves in the scriptures so that we might become nourished by the source of all. And we need to offer ourselves up to God, that living vine grower, to have those areas in our life washed clean, pruned away to make room for new life and new growth. And if that spiritual discipline wasn't hard enough, it's not just those places that are dead in our life. But as a good gardener knows, one of the hardest parts is offering up that perfect blossom, that living, growing, healthy-looking branch that we know we need to trim off in order to focus on the source, to focus on balancing and growing the central part of our lives. And this, I believe, is a harder exercise. There's a pretty strong narrative out there that invites us to accumulate, that tells us more is better, that progress should move forward regardless of the cost to the environment or to our relationship with one another. Or on a personal level, that, of course, if we are good at something, if something feels good, we should try and nurture as much and as many of those experiences as we can. This text is a counter-narrative. It asks us to enter into the discipline of the good gardener, who must look not just to the moment, but to the whole, and for the fruit that is yet to emerge, for the hope and the possibility of the future. It asks us what must be cut so that balance and wholeness can be maintained. What in our own life, though good and beautiful, must be released? What within our life as a community do we let go of, that we surrender, so that the whole is stronger? pruning can be hard work. But the good news is that in this difficult work, we are held. We abide in the one who promises new life for all, who invites us into that intimate work of homemaking, and who gives us strength and courage to stretch forth our branches. And we do not walk alone. By its very nature, the vine points to community. A vineyard is not made up of a single branch. The vine produces an interconnected web of relationships dependent on each other, and at the same time, together, offering more than any single branch can do. Offering shelter to the animals of the fields, room for the leaves to provide shade, space for the grapes to grow full and sweet, wine for the journey. Jesus takes the common and everyday image of the vine and transforms it into a symbol of community, mission, and love. A community characterized by the ongoing presence of Christ and a commitment to the long haul, knowing that it takes time and care to bring it to fulfillment. Yesterday, we stood with the Tsleil-Waututh community as part of a Kairos action of solidarity. Faith leaders from across the spectrum were asked to come and put aside what we think divides us in a common call to listen, a common call to creation care and respect for the first peoples of this land. As the rain came down, we sang of water and us rising up like the water. In those long hours of vigil, there was a sense, as we stood there, of Jesus' prayer being answered, that all might be one. And as folks offered themselves their bodies for a rest, the organizers reminded us that for far too long, it has been Indigenous bodies on the line. And that the time had come for others to stand. To stand for the earth. To stand for our grandchildren. To stand for the first people of this land. And so, as a body, we stood. Children and adults from this community. We stood and we sang and we listened and we prayed. And some were arrested. And even then, they did not do it alone. They did it as a body. And we sang to and we sang with them as they walked. And we sang these words. Have courage, my friends. You do not walk alone. We will walk with you and sing your spirit home. I don't know if I can do it, but those of you who are with me can try. So I'm going to sing it call and response if I remember it. And you can sing it back to me. Have courage.
My friends.
Let's try that again. No. You do not walk alone. You do not. with you.
Walk with you.
And sing your spirit home. And sing your spirit home. And again. Have courage. My friends, you do not walk alone. We will walk with you, and sing your spirit home. Let us commit ourselves to abide in the true vine and to walk together, to sing each other's spirits home, bearing the fruit of love and justice, being the barricade of love in the dark. Amen.